Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or you're simply catching up on a message that you missed, we're so glad that you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you'll experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word Give in the menu on our website at KentwoodCommunityChurch.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, hello, KCC family. How are you guys doing today? We're so glad you're here, whether you're on site or you're online. We're so thankful that we are here to gather as one body today to worship our Heavenly Father. Amen. All right. It is a beautiful day today, and we're going to have a great time diving in to His Word today. So before I get started, I would love to start with a word of prayer. So will you join me? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you once again that we can worship your name today. God, you are holy and righteous. You are amazing. You are so good to us, better than we even can imagine. God, I pray that as you speak through me as I share your word today, Lord, that lives would be touched, that your Holy Spirit would move in this atmosphere, or everyone who's watching online, that you would just be with them in the presence of their homes, and that they would feel you today, God, and the message that you have for your people today. I feel it is a very important one, especially in the times that we are in. So God, will you go before us? Will you bring the conviction in our hearts? Will you help us to seek to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ? Because, Lord, that is our ultimate goal, so that we may shine that light into the rest of the world. So, Lord, I thank you for who you are and all that you've done. Will you use me in this time? We ask this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So last week, Pastor Mick started a new series called Rise Up and Be Counted. And it's just a short one, just a few weeks. And during this series, he wanted to look at three particular things or topics: our time, our treasure, and our talents. And last week, Pastor Mick's theme was really about selfishness and greed. And his main question was, what are we doing with the amazing things that God has given us? And he wanted us to focus not on how much we have, but why we have what we have. And he talked about that, why, when we think about why are we so blessed, when we change our mindset, we use the things that God has given us to bless other people. We recognize that he blesses people through the church, through his creation. And what happens when we acknowledge that and we allow God to use us and use our finances and use our resources to bless one another? That's what it truly means. It's not something that we feel guilty about, but we ask God, what do you want me to do with what I possess? Because at the end of the day, it's not mine. Lord, it's yours. And that's what Mick had talked about in this past week. And today I want to talk on the subject of time, but more specifically, what we do with our time. And the title for my message today is called Resting Amidst the Chaos. Because the reality is that life can be messy. Amen. There are ups and downs all the times. But what does it look like to seek rest or find refuge in the midst of that messiness that we cannot avoid in life? So I want to start a message by looking at some famous laws in the Old Testament, and that is the Ten Commandments. Right? We know them. They're very famous laws that were given down to Moses as he shared them with the Israelites. And I want to go through them just real quick and look at them. Right? So the first of the Ten Commandments was, you shall have no other gods before me. The second was, you shall not make idols. The third, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Four, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Five, honor your father and your mother. Six, you shall not murder. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. Eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor or to tell a lie. And 10, you shall not covet or be envious of what others possess. Now, we know that as Christians in the world today that have come after the time of Jesus's death and resurrection, that we know that we are no longer bound to the law of the Old Testament. But we would be remiss to think that even though we are not bound to these laws, that they are not moral principles that we should live by. So the reality is that even though we are not bound to them, there are fruit and the good things that can be found when we live them out in our lives, right? But the thing that I've noticed is that when I look at these Ten Commandments, there's one in particular, the one about honoring the Sabbath, that I don't think we hold in as high as regard as the rest. So let me show you what I mean. So we're going to go back through the Ten Commandments, and I just want you, well, you know, whether you're on site or you're online, I want you to, you know, you can shout out if you agree, you can nod your hand, you can nod your head, you can raise your hand, whatever you want to do. Well, let's just go back through them, okay? So First of all, you shall have no other gods before me. I think we could agree that's something we should still practice, right? Right? We shouldn't have no other gods than the one true God. So number two, you should not make idols, right? Should we not worship things that are made by the hands of man? I think we'd agree with that. Yeah, that's not something we should do in the world today. Or number three, you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I think we would agree. Yeah, that's not something we want to do. That's not something that blesses and honors God when we use the name of God in vain or in anger. So I'm going to skip four. We're going to go to five. Honor your father and your mother. I think that's still important. We're still raised to treat our parents with respect. It doesn't matter if we're in 2020. The same principles apply, right? Number six, you shall not murder. I think that's kind of a given. We should not murder people. It's not right, no matter what generation you're living in, right? Still something we should practice today. You should not commit adultery. We should be faithful to our spouses. That is something we can continue to believe in and follow in the world today. Number eight, you shall not steal, right? We should not be thieving and taking things from other people that do not belong to us. That is still something that applies to us. Number nine, you should not bear false witness against your neighbor, a lie. We would agree with that, right? We shouldn't still tell lies. We know that they can ruin relationships, that even the smallest lie can grow into something big and cause hurt to people that we don't even think of. And number 10, you shall not covet. We should not envy people's things or possessions. We should not live our life in a way where we're so consumed with what they have that they become an idol in our own life. We would agree with that. Say, yeah, I shouldn't do that. But then what about number four? We should honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. If we're honest, how many of us actually do that today? Do we put honoring the Sabbath day and keep it holy on the same level that we should not have any other gods before the one true God? Or staying faithful to our spouse? Or not worshiping false idols? If we're honest with ourselves, I would say that we don't. There's something about this law that we seem to make excuses for day to day and justify why we do not do it. But why is it? What is it about this commandment that it makes it so easy for us to look the other way? So today I want to walk through the history of the Sabbath and what it means in our lives today. So first of all, what is it? So first, to know what it is, we have to go back to the beginning of time. And start in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2, which says, chapter 2, verse 2, which says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So we see in the beginning, in creation, after God created the heavens and the earth, created all the animals, created man, on the seventh day, he rested. Now, I know if you've had any experience of walking through the Bible, especially with children, and you come to this story, a question that gets asked all the time is, why did God have to rest? Was he tired? Did he need a nap? Was he exhausted from all that creating that he was doing? Right? Those are valid questions. But we know that God does not get tired. He doesn't need to rest. So it begs the question even more, why did he do it? Why did God choose to rest on the seventh day? That answer is given to us later in the book of Exodus in chapter 16, verses 4 through 5 and 26. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. So God's telling them, he's telling them as they've been brought out of Egypt and they're going on this exodus into the promised land, he's saying, I am going to provide for you 6 days a week. There will be bread, there will be manna for you. You go out, you will collect it. There will be enough for you for that day. I will take care of all your needs. And on the sixth day, you are to gather twice as much because on the seventh, you are to rest. See, God way back then, even when he created the heavens and the earth, he knew that one day his people would need rest. And he chose to live it out himself as an example, to show them, see, just as I did in creation, on the seventh day, you are going to follow the same. And he's making it clear to them that you do not have to worry about anything. I am with you and I'm going to provide for you. This is a test whether you believe in who I am and you trust me. And we see throughout the other passages in Scripture that talk about this, that he would tell them that, you know, if you try to hold on to the next day of the food that you have, if you don't consume it that day, then it'll go bad the next day. And people put him to the test, right? They would try to hoard some and carry over. And what happened? They would go out and there would be nothing on the seventh day. God made it clear to them, I'm going to provide for you, but at the same time, I promise you, if you go out on the seventh day, you will find nothing. Because that's not what I've told you to do. That's not how I've chosen to provide for you. I will take care of your needs, but you have to trust in me. So we see that his initial reason for creating the Sabbath was a test of trust. But we also see, instead of what it is, we wonder, okay, well, why exactly do they do it? We know what it is. It is a test given to them, but why do they need to do it? We get that answer in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In verse 15, this is what God says. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. See, the Sabbath was intended to be a reminder to the Israelites of where they came from. It was a reminder for the Jews that they were once slaves in Egypt. See, we have to understand, church, slaves do not get a day off. They don't have a Sabbath. They work tirelessly, effortlessly, hours and hours on end without rest. So God says, as I brought you out of Egypt, I've now created and initiated this Sabbath day. I want it to be a reminder for you for where you came from. When you were in chains, when you were whipped and beaten, when you were treated as less than human, this is what I brought you out from. And I want you to reflect on that. I want you to rest. I want you to be able to, because you are not able to do it without me. This was the purpose. Because the reality is a Sabbath day is something that is only possible when we are in a relationship with God. We don't even, as human beings, even fathom the idea of a Sabbath day apart from God. What do you mean? A whole day of rest? What do we need to rest for? There are things that you should be doing. There are tasks that need to be done in life. Why are you resting? You need to be working. So we have to understand that for the Israelites, the Sabbath was not only a test of trust, but it was a reminder to them about where they came from, that now that they are with God, that God is in control and guiding them, they have the ability to rest because he is in control. But church, it doesn't just stop with the Israelites. It's also a reminder for us that we also were once slaves, that we were slaves to sin. Paul tells us in Romans that we were once living in darkness, until God brought us into the light, that we did not even know how to honor or to do righteous works for the Father apart from Jesus. Church, we need that reminder weekly where we used to be, when we were like the rest of the world and we didn't think that we need rest, that we could do everything on our own, that we had to tirelessly work day in and day out. But now that God has set us free, we have the ability to have the Sabbath. We need to understand that it is a privilege that God has given us. It's not something that we should take lightly. But yet it seems that that's the one commandment that we seem to always push aside and sacrifice so that we can do more stuff in our lives. That's just what the enemy wants us to do. To ignore the blessing that God has given us, that he has provided for his people, just like he did with the Israelites, that he is in control and can provide a way out, but only if we seek it. Church, we cannot miss this reminder in our lives. God has given it to us, and we must take it. So we understand that it is a test, and it is a reminder for us as God's people about the bondage and the slavery that we have been set free from God. So then we go on, okay, well, what does it look like in the New Testament? What does the Sabbath look like then? So we see what it is in the Old Testament, why they did it, what it was for. What does it look like in the New Testament? For that, I want to go to the book of Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. This is what it says. It says, on the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to make their way, picking some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? He said to them, have you never read what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and also gave some to his companions. Then he told them, the Sabbath was not made for man, and not was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So then the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. So the story that Jesus was reminding them of was how when David was fleeing for his life, that him and his men came to the temple and they had no food. And the only food that was available was the food that was consecrated for God, that it was anointed bread, and only the priests were the ones able to eat it. So he basically posed this question. What was the righteous thing to do? To see a need that needed to be filled and to do it and to feed these men? Or to say, well, no, this is anointed bread. You're not allowed to get this. You are not allowed to eat this. And Jesus was pointing out that they did not want them to become a slave to the law, or that they let that go in front of being Christ-like to people's needs. And he brings that up because he also wanted them to realize that on the Sabbath. See, what happened is that over time, as history went out and the Jews, after generation after generation, they began to be legalistic about the Sabbath day. They began to add hundreds of additional rules of what you could and could not do on the Sabbath. So much that they began to miss the point of the purpose of the Sabbath in the first place, that it was to be a test and to be a reminder of where they came from. But what happened is they've ended up putting it on a pedestal and saying, no, we have to be perfect in this, and you have to do all of these rules. And what happened is they ended up not experiencing rest at all, but headache. Am I doing the right thing? Or what if people see me do this? What are they going to think? What if this situation arises? And Jesus is saying, look, that's not what I intended the Sabbath for. I created it for you, my children. I created it when no one else was around for you. Not so you can make a bunch of rules about it one day and become people who are just looking to catch people not following the rules. You're missing the point. I created it so you could rest. I knew the hardships that you would face day in and day out, and I know that apart from me, you would be miserable. And now that you are in a relationship with me, I want to give you this opportunity to rest, but you have to take it. It's not about becoming legalistic. And this is what can happen when we do take the Sabbath, but we take it too far, right? Oh, I got to make sure it's on the right day. We follow Resurrection Sunday, but the Jews do it on Saturday. Which one is it? It doesn't matter. Are you having a Sabbath day? Are you resting in God, or are you so preoccupied with the thoughts in your mind about getting it just right that you're not working, that you're not resting at all? You're just doing more work in a different setting. God gave us the Sabbath so that we can rest, because he knew how much we would need it. But how many of us are actually taking God up on that offer? So we have to understand that rules have exceptions. And the Sabbath was never created to be something to hold over other people, to be a check mark to make sure we look like good Christians. It was created for us as a blessing, as a tool and a resource, so that we can rest in the arms of our Creator and be carefree. True trust is when we can sit back and say, God, you are in control, and I don't know what's going to happen. I know I have all these things on my plate, Lord, but I'm just taking time to spend with you because I need you, God. I need your rest. I need your refreshment. I need your nourishment in my life. I can't do this on my own. So it begs the question, if we know what it is, where it came from, why we do it, why is it that we still do not honor the Sabbath? Why do we not hold it in high regard as those other commandments? There's a few ideas I think of. One, I think we think that it has no value in today's world. You know, we seem to have this view of the Old Testament where we think that people were like so much not as smart as us and not intelligent, and they just didn't get how the world works. But now that we know better, now that we're in 2020, it's further from the truth. And we seem to think that, well, you know, life isn't like it was back then, and all the day-to-day things that I have to do and my responsibilities, you know, it's just a Sabbath is not very practical in our world today. Which leads to the next reason, I believe. We think that we're too busy to have a Sabbath. God, you understand my schedule. You know how busy I am, Lord. You get it. A Sabbath is just something that I cannot do. I can't have in my life right now. Well, what is that saying about your life? Because what you're saying is that you're putting your life and your task ahead of what God has commanded you to do. There was a reason that he initiated it. And it's very easy for us to convince ourselves that we cannot have a Sabbath, that we're too busy. But when we actually take the time and see what are the things that we are prioritizing in our life, we find that we have a lot more time to give to God than we actually think. So another fear, as I just said, right, we think that God knows how hectic our lives is, that we couldn't possibly have a Sabbath. But I think another reason why we don't honor the Sabbath is that we fear that the world will look at us as lazy, that we are afraid of what others who are not Christians are going to think of us. Right? We live in a world where, yeah, there's no problem having 7-day work weeks or 14-hour work days. That's just life. You do what you need to do to get by. So the audacity to come to a boss and say, you know, I don't work this one day a week, or I need this time off. I'm not going to work here unless I have my Sabbath. Those sound like audacious things to say. We couldn't possibly speak like that in the world. You know all the things that we have to do. We have to continuously work ourselves over and over again. But yet, year after year, we see statistics on burnout, not just in ministry, but in life as well. Suicide rates continue to climb because people are not resting in Jesus. All we're focused on is stuff and the way that people view us and what they think of us and if they accept us. And as long as we burn ourselves out and we ignore our family and our spouses, as long as we do what we need to do to bring home money, then we've done our job. Church, that's not life. That's not living. That is slavery. We voluntarily send ourselves back to the slave master and say, what more work do you need me to do? Yeah, God's over here giving me a rest and a break, but I don't have time for that. I know what needs to get done. See, in the past, the Israelites didn't have a choice. But now, in today's world, we do have a choice. And yet, even though we understand and we see the blessing that God has given us, we still choose to pick up our pickaxe and go right back to work. We choose to go right back to the master and say, I'm ready to go. I don't need rest. It's not necessary in my life. But I think there are examples in our world that show the blessings that can come when we do have a Sabbath. And I think the best example that I can think of is when it comes to Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A model, I call it. Right? We know that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. Shout out to Kanye. That's just the reality. Right? We know. And it's getting frustrating because oftentimes when you get the most excited about it is on Sunday after church. But you know you can't go there. But Chick-fil-A has always, since its inception, has always said, we're only going to be open 6 days a week. Listen to this quote. It says, closing our business on Sunday, the Lord's Day, is our way of honoring God and showing our loyalty to him. Chick-fil-A's founder, Truett Cathy, wrote in his book, Eat More Chicken, Inspire More People. Cathy continued, my brother Ben and I closed our first restaurant on the first Sunday after we opened in 1946. And my children have committed to closing our restaurants on Sundays long after I'm gone. I believe God honors our decision and sets before us unexpected opportunities to do greater work for him because of our loyalty. So they understood that. Even if you go on their website, it says, right, the reason they give the Sabbath is so that their workers can have a day of worship and rest. They said, like, even if you don't have the intentionality to do it yourself, we're going to provide it for you. You don't have an option. We will not be open. And it's interesting because when you look at the world when it comes to fast food and you look from a secular point of view, it is very easy to understand that Chick-fil-A that closed on Sunday is a bad financial decision. Statistics show that Sunday is the most lucrative day for fast food restaurants. But yet Chick-fil-A is not open. The world thinks you're crazy. Why would you do that? That makes no sense. Well, when your focus is only on the dollar, it doesn't make sense. But the founder understood something. He said, I believe that God honors our sacrifice and will create opportunities when we trust in him and rest in him. They understood the blessing of the Sabbath. And it's clear to see that Chick-fil-A is doing just fine, only being open 6 days. And it defies the odds. Business insiders and articles always wondering, how is it possible that they are surviving in the midst of this business strategy? So you look by the numbers, Chick-fil-A is the second highest grossing fast food chain in the United States. After being ranked 7th last year in 2019, it saw a 13% sale growth to more than $11 billion in 2019. When you look at the number of locations of Chick-fil-A there are in the U.S., McDonald's is number one with 13,846. Taco Bell has 6,766. Burger King has 7,346. And Chick-fil-A only has 2,470. And Taco Bell and Burger King are third and fourth. So every other restaurant has double, if not triple or quadruple, the amount of restaurants that Chick-fil-A has. They're open 7 days a week, many of them 24 hours a day, and yet still Chick-fil-A is number two. How does that happen in this world? That doesn't make sense. But if you were to ask the founder of this restaurant, he would say, because God is blessing and honoring the sacrifice that we're making. That, yeah, the money may come, but that's not our focus. We could act like everybody else. We could go to 24 hours, unlimited open drive-through. We could go to 7 days a week. But then we'd be missing the rest that God has given us, the gift that he has given us. The gift should be the focus, not all the things outside of that. Church, if Chick-fil-A can do it, we can do it in our lives. What opportunities would arise in us if we followed that lifestyle? What blessings would God give us if we honored him and rested on that Sabbath day? Just think about the difference, the change that it could have in our lives. And I think on top of that, I think in our world today, more than ever, it is so important that we have a Sabbath. I mean, just think of the chaos that we're in with COVID-19 and all the tension that's going on in our world. It's so easy that when tensions arise, that we justify resting less. Right? The more chaotic our lives get, the more that we justify and say, God, yeah, I just cannot rest right now. I need to do this and this and that. These things are not going to get done. But the reality is that the more hectic that life gets, the more that we should pursue rest in God. Because it's revealed to us even greater that we cannot do it on our own. But we tend to do the opposite. We use it as an excuse or a justification to continue to work ourselves to death. But what would it look like in this time of quarantine, in this pandemic, if we said, God, I just need time with you. No social media, no going. I just need to be with you, Lord. I just need to rest in your arms and just be renewed. I just need a good sleep. I just need time with my family. I need time in prayer. I just need to worship you, God. I just need to get away and shut out the noise of the rest of the world and just be with you. What a blessing that would be in this time right now. And the wonderful thing is that it is accessible. It's not something that's far away. You can do it now. You can do this next week. It is right there for us, church. All we have to do is seek it. So before I wrap up, I just want to end with this, right? We know what it is, how it started, why we should do it. But I just want you to think that as we live our lives, right, if you hear this message and you go on about your life and nothing changes, you don't honor the Sabbath, what is it that we are actually saying to God with our actions? We may not say it with our words, but what are we saying to God when we continue to ignore the blessing that he has given us in this day of rest? One, I think we're telling that we know better than God what we need in our lives. God, you may think I need a Sabbath, but Lord, I know my schedule. I know my responsibilities. I know what's coming up next week, a month from now. I know what I need to do. If you think that I can have a Sabbath, God, you're sadly mistaken. I know what I need in my life. Or second, we tell God that we don't trust him. Remember, in the beginning, it was a test of trust. Are you going to trust that on the seventh day you will have enough food that you do not need to go out and get it yourself? Will you believe that I will provide double portions on the sixth day? Do you trust me? Do we trust God that if we take a break 24 hours to be with him, that our job is going to be okay? That our relationships will still be fine? That the world is not going to come crashing down? Do we trust that God will provide? When we refuse to have a Sabbath, we are telling God that we don't. We trust ourselves. We trust our own abilities, our own power. That is what we trust. We don't trust God. And finally, we tell God that spending time with him isn't important. We'd rather spend time with our work than with our everlasting Father. The one who knew us in our mother's womb wants to spend time with us. And we'd rather be a slave. We'd rather go back to work. We'd rather put stress on our bodies and our lives. Why do we do that? Why do we not enter into this amazing gift that God has given us? He just wants to spend time with his children. Surely as parents, many of us can relate to that. When kids get older and they want to go out and do their own things, what do you long for? Just to be with them, to spend time like they used to. You know, as a dad of young ones, I find myself many times getting kind of stressed to an extent of how much my kids want to be around me. I'm like, it's cute, but, you know, just 5 minutes. But there are always people there to stop me and say, don't think that way, because one day they won't want to be around you. They'll have other friends. They'll have boyfriends or girlfriends, right? They'll want to go and do other things. And then you'll long for those days where they'd be pulling on your leg or asking you a million questions. Why 1,000 times? So I try to remember that in those situations. And I feel like God feels that too. You know, there's a time where we love God and we're so on fire for God, but then other things comes in our lives and we just kind of put him on the back burner. We know he's there and he'll be there when we ask for him, but he's just saying, I wish they would seek me like they used to, that they would rest in me the way that they used to, that they would come to me with their problems like they used to. Church, do we want to spend time with our Heavenly Father? We have the ability to. It is a privilege. It's not something that happens automatically. We have to want it in our lives. So before I close, just a couple of quotes that I think really sum up what I've been talking about. The first one is from Shelley Miller. She says this. She says, Sabbath isn't about resting perfectly. It's about resting in the one who is perfect. And then this one from Mark Driscoll. If you can't take a nap, if you can't take a day off, then heaven is going to drive you nuts. Because we will be resting eternally in the arms of our everlasting Father. So church, don't miss this opportunity. The blessing, the comfort, the rest, the renewal that comes when we just let everything go and say, God, you are in control. And I just need some sleep. I need some rest, Lord. I need to just rest in your arms. It's such a blessing for us. Let's not continue to live our lives as if we're just these machines that run on batteries forever and we don't have emotions and we don't have needs. God knew what we needed. He made that sacrifice. He took that day off long before we were even created because he knew one day my child will need a rest. And I pray that this will be an example for them and that they will follow likewise. So before I close, just some questions for us to consider today. And really think on these in your heart. Just pray these to God. First, what is preventing you from spending time with God? What is it? Is it your schedule? Is it other things that you put in the way of it? Is it hobbies that you have? What is it that is getting in the way from you honoring that Sabbath? From pushing it aside from those other commandments and saying, that one's not as important. I'll focus on the other ones, but I won't focus on this. What is that roadblock in your life? Just give that to God today. And finally, when your world becomes chaotic, do you draw closer or further from God? As the tensions rise and the stress comes, do you go before your Father and say, Lord, I need your rest more than ever. I need you to provide. I need you to guide me, to comfort me. Or do you push him away and say, Lord, I'm too busy right now. In fact, why are you letting all these things happening to me right now? Don't you know what I'm dealing with? And he does, but he expects us to come to him for rest. He is our nourishment and strength, church. He just wants to spend time with his children. So won't we do that going forward? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you because you're so good to us. God, you didn't have to provide a way for us to rest, but you did. You set the blueprint, Lord. You showed us that there will be times where we are just worn out, that we are burnt out, but we can experience something that is so sweet to rest in the arms of our Father, to yawn and just lay back and experience the best sleep we've ever had, to experience your provision in our lives, that even though the world around us is chaotic, Lord, it is organized in your hand. You know every detail, every fragment of things that is going on. Nothing passes you. Lord, that should give us confidence. We should be thankful. But Lord, we know that the world pulls at us in our emotions and pulls us away from you, Lord. And I just repent from that today, God. If we have made you second best, if we have put you on the back burner, that a relationship with you has not been a priority in our lives, but we have taken it for granted. God, may we remember the test and the truth, the reminder that we were once slaves. We were once in darkness. We once didn't have a choice, but now we do, Lord. But may we choose to stay in your light and not run back to the darkness. May we continue to push ourselves out of our comfort zone and follow and run to that trust and say, God, I trust you. I don't know how I'm going to get this project done, but Lord, I trust you. I don't know how I'm going to handle this situation, but Lord, I trust you. I need a rest. You know what I need. God, and I just pray that everyone who can hear my voice, who is here online, would just take me up on this and just would experience your peace like never before. And that they would be changed, Father God. That they would be renewed. That they would say, this is what my Father intended for me. This is the rest that he wanted. God, that is what you desire. You just want to spend time with your children. So God, we thank you for the sacrifice that you've made. We thank you for this ability that we have. And Lord, may we not take it for granted, but may we take you up on this offer and just experience the refreshing wind in our lives. We love you, Lord. We thank you for who you are and all that you've done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, thank you so much for being with us today. Whether you came here or those online, I'm going to ask you to stand if you are able just for a quick word of benediction. Church, may we go forth this week. May we take God up on his offer. May we experience the freedom and the freshness that comes when we rest in the arms of our Father. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you. We love you all, and we'll see you next week.